Hello, my name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And I pray that you'll stay tuned, because today I want to share with you about the miracles of God and how that I'm going to tell you some of the miracles that happened in my life, not about what I read about somebody else, but the miracles that I have experienced in my own life. And I want to share them, some of them, with you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you touch my listeners. I pray, God, that you deal with hearts, and if there be one that's not born again, that today they'll make Jesus the Lord of their life. And let them know, Lord, that you love them, that you did not come to condemn them, but that you came that through you they may be saved. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for shedding your blood on Calvary, that our sins could be washed away. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to read out of Psalms chapter 34, and I want to start reading with verse 7. Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, what a powerful, powerful scripture. If we could just take this portion of scripture and just live by it and get it in our spirits and get it in our souls, to know that God has angels ready to encamp about us, and for those that love him and worship him, that he will withhold no good thing from us. And today that's what I want to share with you, the good things of God, because God is good. All good gifts come from him. For 36 years, my husband, Chaplain Bunny Gregory, and myself went from truck stop to truck stop, preaching in truck stops to the drivers and to all that would come into our mobile chapel. We had a mobile chapel, a church on wheels for truck drivers. We had a regular semi-trailer that we had converted into a chapel, and the front part was our living quarters, and we pulled it with a Kenworth tractor. We had several units, and over the years, we would try to update. And God blessed us over these many years that we were able to keep on trucking. My husband went home to be with the Lord in 2011. For those 36 years, we traveled, and we traveled together as a team. My husband and I were always a team. We always worked together. Now he's made his final run, but I'm still keeping on, keeping the Trucking for Jesus ministry going, and doing the radio and the TV and revival, and to be able to carry the gospel wherever God makes a way. But it's been requested that I share some of the miracles that God gave us while we were on the road. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to tell you some of the mighty miracles that God worked in our lives that we were able to see. And I want you to know, first and foremost, the greatest miracle that anyone could ever see is salvation of a man or woman. When a man or woman gives their heart to Jesus and they're born again, that's the greatest miracle that could ever be. God provides for us. He takes care of us. But whether we ever have another crust of bread, whether we ever have another dime, whether we ever see another day, the most important decision, the most important thing to receive from God is salvation through Jesus Christ. I want you to know that, and I want you to remember that. And the only way in to God the Father is through Jesus Christ, his Son. Ye must be born again, and it takes Jesus. Of the salvations that we witnessed over the years, which were many, many, one of the most astounding ones that was a man named Jim. This man we met out in Texas, and at the time of the year we were there, it was a bit of bite, a chill in the air. And if you've ever been around Amarillo, Texas, when it started getting cold, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's just something not quite like a Texas wind. It just has a way to cut through you. And at that truck stop, we met a man named Jim. And this man was an alcoholic. He had left home because he was an alcoholic, and he said he didn't want to be around his mom and daddy, who were Christians, because he couldn't control his drinking. And he knew that, he said, I'm just breaking their hearts, and I just had to get away. And he was out on the truck stop lot just trying to get work, working with the truckers and unloading and loading the trucks. And my husband talked to him and tried to get him to come in the chapel. And he said, no, I'm just not fit to come in the truck because I'm drunk. And my husband said, you know, that doesn't make any difference. It's God's house. You can come in. And he would not come in. The whole week we were there, Jim would not come in the chapel. But he would stand on the outside and he would talk to my husband for a long time. And when we got ready to leave the truck stop, my husband went out that morning and he said, I'm going to go find Jim and tell him goodbye. And he looked all over the truck stop and around the yard there, and he couldn't find Jim. But he went into the trucker's lounge, and there laying in the floor over in the corner was Jim. He was asleep on the truck stop floor. And my husband reached over top of him and he shook him, and he said, Jim, we're getting ready to go, but I just want you to know we love you and we're praying for you, and I want you to give your heart to Jesus. And Jim looked at my husband, and he said, Chaplain, he said, my mom and daddy live in Odessa, Texas. He said, if you ever hear from me from Odessa, Texas, he said, if I ever go back to Odessa, he said, you'll know that I give my heart to Jesus and I've straightened up. He said, I'll let you know. Well, that was the last time we saw Jim. Years and years passed, we never saw him or heard from him. And one day I went to the post office and picked up our mail. And as I picked up our mail, there was a postcard in the mail. And this was years and years after we had met Jim. And when I went through the letters, there was that postcard. And on the front of the postcard, it had a big oil well on the front of the postcard. And it said, Odessa, Texas. And when I flipped it over, on the back of that postcard, it just in big letters, it said, Jim. We knew Jim had went back home. We knew Jim had given his heart to the Lord. You see, you never know what seed you may sow or what seed you may water. But God is the God of increase, and His word will never come back void. We rejoice greatly to receive that postcard from Jim, knowing that he had went back home, knowing that he had given his heart to the Lord, knowing that God took care of him. Today, I want to encourage you, no matter what kind of situation a person is, no matter what kind of habits they have or what they're bound up in, God is able to deliver them. But it is up to us to love them, not to judge them, not to condemn them, but to love them and to give them God's word and to show them hope. God will bring forth His word, and in due season, if we won't faint, we were able to see the fruit of the labor. We were able to receive that letter, that postcard from Jim, knowing that he had given his heart to the Lord. And you know, I also have to think about another person that we met on a truck stop lot, on the back of a truck stop lot. And this was a young lady who was 9 months pregnant, and she was on the backside of a truck stop lot in Oklahoma City, and she was from Southern California. What had happened to this young lady is she had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, and her and her mom and daddy had a big fight, and she left home thinking that her mom and daddy didn't want her, and she was on a truck stop lot there trying to just live on the backside of the lot. And she came up to our chapel, and my husband talked to her about the Lord and talked to her about giving her heart to Jesus, and she prayed with us. And she didn't ask for any money or any food or anything, but we felt led to give her some money, and we gave her money, and she walked off and went on her way. And we didn't hear from her. We prayed for her and thought about her many, many times, how that young girl was so far away from home. And we encouraged her to go back home. We encouraged her to call her mom and daddy and to go back home and make things right. And she said she'd think about it, and she went away. And, you know, I think so many times about how I would have felt if my daughter was out in the road and in that condition and not knowing where she was and not knowing what had happened to her. But years and years passed, and we never heard from this lady or seen her. And one day we were parked in a truck stop, a little small truck stop in Colton, California. We were parked on a lot there. And this young woman came in the chapel one day and she said, "Ma'am, do you remember me?" And I said, "Honey, I'm sorry, but I don't recall you." She said, "Do you remember a young girl years ago at Oklahoma City, 9 months pregnant on the back of the lot?" Yeah, I said, "Yes, I do. I do remember." She said, "I'm that woman." And she said, I took your advice. I went back home and I gave my heart to Jesus. I prayed with you that day." And she said, "I went back home and I had my baby." And she said, "My mom and daddy loved their grandbaby and we made everything right." And she said, "I went back to school and I finished my education." And she said that, "I always said in my heart, if I ever saw this truck again, I was going to come in and tell you that I did go back home." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There's a lot of wealth people could receive and money and houses and lands, and that's all wonderful. But let me tell you, let me explain something to you. Hearing that testimony and seeing that girl, it's one of the greatest treasures that I could ever receive or my husband could ever receive. There's nothing that would ever compare to Jim and to this young girl that we know that went back home. It's amazing how that the enemy will come in and cause people to leave their families and have an argument and think they can't go back home. I'm reminded of the prodigal son who went away from home and got in trouble, but he went back home. And today I want to encourage, if there's anybody listening to me and you think you've gone too far, you think you can't be fit, go back home. And some of you may not have a home here to go back to, but let me tell you, there's always a home for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he would in no wise cast anyone out that came to him. I want you to hear that. Jesus said he would in no wise cast anyone away that would come to him. He won't cast you away. He won't turn you away, but he'll take you in. You always got a home to go to when you have Jesus. And I want you to know that today. I want you to remember that. Jesus loves you, and he wants to take care of you, and he wants to provide for you, and he wants to heal the situation. The young people that we met over the years on the road, I can't tell you of the hitchhikers that would come into our chapel and they would be hungry and they would want you to give them something to eat. And we tried to keep backpacks and things of food on hand that we could give to them. We met a couple of truck drivers out in California and they drove for a carnival. And the carnival people had them to lay over the truck stop, but they didn't forward them any money to eat on. And those young men, they were hungry. And I always kept big jars of peanut butter on the chapel. And we gave those, it was three drivers. We gave them a thing of peanut butter and a big box of crackers. And they were so happy to get that. And we gave them something to drink. And my husband came in about an hour later and he said, "Blonnie," he said, "I saw that jar of peanut butter. I saw that jar out there in the garbage can." And I said, "Do you mean they threw that peanut butter away?" He said, "No, that's not what I'm telling you." He said, "It was not a teaspoon. It was not a lick of peanut butter left in that jar. Those boys had eaten that whole jar. They were hungry. They were hungry. They were hungry. They were hungry." So many times we would have people come that would be caught out in the cold, and we try to keep sweaters or coats or sweatshirts. And maybe you could give them a coat or a pair of gloves or something to warm them, encourage them to go back home, help them to get back home some way. We are not so busy that we can't stop. Maybe a lot of times we don't have finances to give people, and a lot of times you can't give money to certain people. You got to let God lead you on that, but we can give them something to eat. I remember one day I had come out of a convenience store and we were going to meet some people across the street in a restaurant. We were going to have breakfast together. And there was this young boy leaned down with a backpack against the telephone pole. And I went over to him and I knelt down beside of him and I said, "Young man, the Lord laid on my heart to give you this, and I gave him $10. I said, son, go in there and get you something to eat and get you some breakfast. And he started to cry, and he said, ma'am, I didn't have nothing to eat, and I didn't have no money. He said, I just called my mama, and she's on her way to get me, and she told me to wait here on this corner for me. For her, she was coming to get me. And I was able to just give the boy enough to get him some breakfast to wait on his mama to come get him. I think about so many times the prodigal son, when he got up out of the hog pen and he decided to go back home, and he had been through so much, and he was filthy and he was dirty, but he was going back to daddy. He was going back home. I thought so many times, how would you and I treat that boy if we met him on the road going home, all filthy and dirty and been in the hog pen? Would we have been kind to him? Would we have helped him? Would we have encouraged him to go back home? Or would we have been mean to him? I remember one time, my husband, we were at a truck stop, and there was a rail fence down by the truck stop, and my husband was sitting by that rail fence by the chapel. And this guy comes sit down beside of him. And my husband got to talking to him, and he tried to talk to him about the Lord, and he gave him the plan of salvation. And then my husband reached in his pocket, and he gave him some money that he could go get him something to eat on. He said, go get you something to eat. And that man said, sir, you have no way of knowing what you just done. He said, I hadn't been long to get out of prison. And he said, what they do, they take you to the state line, and you just have a few dollars in your pocket, and then you have to get the rest of the way home the best that you can. He said, I had just stopped at a convenience store down the road, and he said, I asked the woman there, could I wash the windows of the store if she'd give me a donut and a cup of coffee? And he said, she cursed me and run me away. And he said, I just filled with rage, and I started to go back in and just kill her. But something made me go down the road, and I saw this truck stop, and I come here. And he said, mister, I've never met you before, but I know you love me, and I know you care for me, and I appreciate you being kind. You know what? Being kind to someone is not going to cost us anything. Being merciful to someone is not going to cost us anything. There are times in our lives that you and I, and we all know that sometimes if we just got a word of encouragement, or just a word to help us along the way, how it would have made our journey a whole lot better and a whole lot sweeter. Take time to be kind to one another. Take time to be sweet to one another. Take time to listen to God's voice, for God will direct and order your paths. My husband and I not only had the mobile chapel, but in our early ministry, we had a tent ministry. And as we had tore the tent down one night, we were on our way back to our home in Virginia. And it was raining so hard, and it was a time when in the 70s when the gas was, they were rationing the gas, and it was hard to find places open to have gas, but we found a gas station. And as we were fueling up our truck, this guy walked up to us, and he said, mister, would you give me a ride down the road? And my husband said, I can't. He said, we're packed up. We don't have room for anybody. Our tent, our chairs, everything in there. We only have the two captain seats, and we just don't have room. And as that young man walked away, the Lord spoke to my husband and said, I sent him to you. Pick him up. And my husband called him back. He said, come on, get in the truck. He said, we'll, some way or another, we'll make room. And I slipped over, and I sat on the doghouse between the two seats, and I kind of scrunched in there, and I let the young man sit in my seat. And we didn't go 100 yards down the road, and he said, stop, let me off here. And we pulled off of the road, and we thinking it mighty strange that he just would go that far down the freeway and then want to get out. And we pulled our unit off the road, had to let him out. And when we let him out, coming down the road about 100 miles an hour was a car on the wrong side of the road. And if we had been on that road, he would have hit us head on. It would have been no way with that truck that we had that we could have swerved and we could have got off the road. We would have wrecked, or we would have hit him head on. And we turned, after that car passed us, we turned to say goodbye to that young man, and he was gone. He was nowhere to be found. We looked up the road, we looked down the road, he was nowhere to be found. And we know that night that God sent angels. And I read to you earlier in the broadcast, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. We know that God had sent an angel that night to protect us, that if we'd have been on the highway, we would have died in the crash or would have hurt because we would have been hit head on. God protected us. God protected and kept us. God kept us safe. Let me tell you, people, the Lord loves you, and he will not withhold any good thing from you, the ones that love him and the care for him. The greatest gift that we could ever receive is salvation. And I tell people all the time that, you know, we take our kids to school and we drop them off at school, but God don't do that. He never drops us off anywhere. The Bible says that Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. He's always with us, ever mindful for our every need and our every care. He knows where we are. And I want you mamas and daddies and grandma and grandpas to listen to me. He also knows where your children are. He knows what backside of the lot they're on. He knows what floor they may be sleeping on. He knows what condition they're in. And God will send help. We need to not ever quit praying for our lost children and grandchildren. We need to not ever stop praying for our lost loved ones and for the lost of our nation. We need to not ever quit preaching the word. We need to not ever quit being kind and loving one another. Years ago, before we went into the trucking ministry, we used to go into the nursing homes and preach in the nursing homes. And I walked up on a lady one day, and as I went in there, her room, she was all bent over in a chair. And I talked to her, but there was no response. There was no response whatsoever. And as I would go back week after week, I would go to her and I would talk to her, and she just looked like she was just not responsive to anything. And when I prayed and I said, Lord, I can't talk to her. I don't even know if she's hearing me. And the Lord put in my heart, he said, Lonnie, just touch her in my name. Just touch her in my name. She'll feel that and she'll know that. Sometimes we can't witness to people. Sometimes they don't hear us or they won't let us. But we can touch them in the name of Jesus. We can touch them with kindness. We can touch them with our prayers. We can touch them with being faithful to see that the word gets out across the airways and in our churches to support the ministers and the preachers that are preaching the gospel. We can touch them by just being ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, just to show our testimony, not just to give our testimony, but to live it. Some of you, you have to know this. You're the only sermon that a lot of people will ever hear. They watch every part of your life, and they know everything that you're doing. And we need to live what we preach. We need to practice what we preach. We need to hear the word with the intent to obey it and walk in it, because you never know whose life you're going to touch, and you never know what effect that it's going to have upon somebody's life. But we need to be faithful, to be kind and considerate and loving, and to be merciful one to another. So many times, we ourselves have need that encouraging word, and we ourselves need to give it. So many people I see today are depressed, and there, I know there are times we all get down, but let me tell you, if you'll get up and help somebody else, if you'll get up and pray for somebody else, if you'll get up and witness to somebody, you'll be surprised at how much better you feel and how much better your day will go and how much better that you will make somebody else's life to brighten somebody else's world. I walked up on a guy. He was a guy that lived on the backside of a truck stop lot. He just lived there all the time. And I walked up to him. I saw him sitting on a little post there. And I walked up to him and I gave him some money. And I said, sir, go get you some coffee and warm yourself up. And I said, I want you to be good today, okay? He said, ma'am, I have to be good because that's my name. His name was Mr. Good. And he smiled from ear to ear. And I saw him get up and walk in the truck stop. And I saw him come out with a hot cup of coffee. I know that through the 36 years that we trucked on the highway, so many people have been kind to us. So many people come by and blessed us. But we just can't receive blessings. We got to give blessings. There have been many a night that my husband and I would be on the inside of our living quarters in our chapel, and we would hear something hit the back steps of our chapel. We would hear something hit on that steps. And in the morning when we would get up, some truck driver had left us a box of soup or a box of food or some fruit or maybe a box of Bibles or maybe there would be a gift on the back of the steps. We would not know who done it, but God laid it on somebody's heart to come by and put a blessing on our doorstep. That has happened time and time again. God would send somebody by to be a blessing. But we always knew and we always understood and we always know that to receive a blessing is not enough. We've got to be thankful for that blessing, but we also got to be a blessing. And with what God has given you, you share with others and be a blessing to them and encourage them and help them along the way. I pray that as when our days are ended here on earth and we stand before our God, that we'll see those that we've helped in some way make it to heaven. That we've helped somebody some way to lighten their load and to encourage them. That we'll help somebody along the way to have maybe a happier day, to be encouraged to that day. This morning early before I started making these broadcasts, an old friend of mine that I met on the first years that we were trucking for Jesus, they now live in assisted care living, and she called me this morning, and she talked to me for a long time, and we just talked about all the good times that we used to have on the road, and we talked about how good God is. You see, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. God has taken care of us in our youth. He's taken care of us in our young adulthood. He took care of us in our middle age. And honey, when you get into those golden years, he even has to take better care of us then than ever before. The Lord will not let you down, and he'll not forsake you. He'll send in what you need. It says here, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And the key there is take time to seek the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of these things will be added unto you. God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will send in what you need when you need it. God will see to it that your needs are met. But not only will he see to it that our needs are met, but he wants us to know how to receive, but he also wants us to know how to be givers. For he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he also said that he loves a joyful and a happy giver. Don't give begrudging and don't give to throw it up in somebody's face, but give in love. For that's the way you and I have received salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. The greatest gift that you could ever receive is salvation. Please take this moment and this time right now to ask Jesus into your heart and begin a faith walk. Begin a walk of joy. Begin a life of happiness in Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and he wants to give you that joy today, and that joy can only come through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Receive him today and receive his merciful forgiveness. Walk in victory. God is faithful. Thank you for listening into the broadcast. Write me and let me know you're praying for me. Send me your prayer requests and let me pray for you. Thank you again and have a marvelous day in Jesus.